We are going to lift you up today on Which Way Is Life, episode number 8. My guest today, Steve Brown. Learn how to deal with a negative diagnosis, how to not let your disease define you, and why you should treat your disease like an opponent and kick its rear. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Which Way Is Life. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, all the benefits of sea salt. That's real. Real Salt brand sea salt.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired, get healthy, reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
So excited to have Steve Brown with us today. Steve is a multi-sport athlete who has been racing for close to 30 years and coaching others in the sport of triathlon for 10 years. Steve has run 26 marathons and 12 iron distance triathlons. And while those numbers are impressive, the number that is even more meaningful to Steve is 50, which is the number of chemotherapy treatments he has endured since being diagnosed with a chronic form of leukemia 10 years ago. Today, Steve still actively races, trains, and coaches while being an advocate for fellow patients everywhere while currently undergoing additional chemo treatment. Even more amazing, Steve says he was given this diagnosis as a gift. He says this disease has opened more doors than it has closed and created more opportunities than it has taken away. Welcome, Steve Brown. Thank you so much for being on with us. Before we get to your story, can you let us in on your personal life? Who are you when you're not inspiring others throughout the world?
I am a 56-year-old aging but not old age group multi-sport athlete. I've been happily married for 30 years. I'm a father of two. I work at a very large banking institution. I have two amazing grandchildren, and when I'm not, you know, doing my grown-up job, I have a passion for inspiring others and for using, you know, my diagnosis and my illness for any way I can that's going to help pave the way and move awareness forward in the scope of disease and diagnosis.
Well, it sounds like a full life and a worthy goal, that's for sure. Steve, I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I am ready. I am more than ready, Bill.
All right, let's do it. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
That's easy. Do one thing every single day that scares the living heck out of you.
So you have perspective on that with what you've endured, and that's what you've learned.
Yeah, I mean, my perspective is that, you know, people, generally speaking, have relatively small comfort zones. And both through my history with my disease and through my coaching, and just through life, right, over 56 years, you tend to learn a little bit about yourself and about people and about society around you. And the one thing that I've learned is that when you're able to live on the edge a little bit and really push through your fears and do something that scares you, what you get back from that is just incrementally unbelievable. You can't even put a price tag on it. So the impacts in confidence and self-esteem and just your overall banding is just an incredible thing to be a part of. And if you can tackle one thing every day that frightens you, then you're well on your way to becoming.
That's when you realize you're living, when you're out of that comfort zone and you're feeling those feelings.
That's absolutely right. Yep.
You know, I'm struck by your comment, Steve. You say you were given this diagnosis as a gift. Why do you feel that way?
You know, when I was first diagnosed, and it's been 10 years now, everyone goes through the what if phases. You know, you can't figure it out. You don't understand it. I've always been an athlete. I've always done the right things. I had already had a number of Ironman competitions under my belt, and different distance triathlons and marathons and So you're hit with this diagnosis, and you know, for a fleeting moment, you're a deer in headlights. You're like, what am I going to do with this? But it didn't take me very long at all to realize that A, I have a very public voice, and I have a platform, and I have an ability to be able to use this and twist this around to find some positive in it. And I wanted to use that. I wanted to be, you know, my biggest supporters and the people that rallied behind me the most were triathletes in the world, were the multisport, my friends and training partners and race buddies across the United States. So I wanted to use my involvement in that community to say something for the disease and about the disease. And once I made the commitment to be in front of it rather than kind of behind it or hiding from it, doors just opened up for me. You know, I was able to meet some incredible people, be it other patients, their family members, their caregivers, members in the professional communities and, you know, on the field of oncology or research or whatever it might be. And I began to realize that I was given this to do something positive with it. And ever since being able to kind of embrace that and accept that and move that forward, it's made a whole night and day difference in how I process the disease.
So overall, what has having leukemia taught you?
It's taught me that stuff happens to all of us. It's taught me that disease is blind. And it's taught me that the things that happen to us are meaningless, but our response to those is what will define us, and that's how we're going to be remembered. We're not going to be remembered by or as the guy that had cancer. Or, you know, there's diagnosis of some kind rampant all around this world. You know, we're all touched in some way, shape, or form by somebody who's diagnosed with something or who's going through something. But what's key in all this is, what are you going to do with it? Okay, so what's the now what? How do you process it? What are your steps forward? How can you use this in a way that's going to not only allow you to reconcile what you're going through, but possibly have it be a benefit or a positive or a guiding light for someone else in this world?
So your spirit, your courage, your attitude, those are the things that you will be remembered for. And those are the things that will define you then when battling something like this.
I think so. You know, I use the terms footprints and footsteps often, right? And I think the importance of leaving behind, you know, a legacy of a really big footprint is far more important than having loud footsteps. So I kind of believe in, you know, doing some behind-the-scenes really good work that supports the causes that I support, but not necessarily having to do it in the spotlight or in the limelight. I like for things to just kind of happen by virtue of the work that I've done, versus, you know, call all the attention to myself in the work that I'm doing.
So you're kind of leading by example in a way. So see, for someone just given a life-changing diagnosis or who is currently battling a serious disease, what would you say to them right now?
First thing to do is to just take a deep breath, right? The first reaction is always fear and panic, but there are answers out there in the universe and there are experts out there in the world, and you need to just take a step, take a breath, assess the situation, go through all of your, you know, write everything down. You know, these are the things that I know. These are the things that I need to get answers to. And these are my different options. And then start talking about those options with the experts, with your medical team, and determine, you know, what's the best option for you. And, you know, there may not be one option. There may be multiple options, and you may have to always set your sights on, hey, this is plan A. And I fully recognize that plan A may or may not work. And if for some reason it doesn't work, this is plan B. Same thing. This plan B may or may not work. So you set your sights on plan C. So it's just really working through the process without panic and just trying to understand what it is that you can actively do versus passively just feeling.
How do you remain positive in that situation? That's got to be very difficult. And you just laid out some terrific steps. But man, how do you keep going?
I won't pretend that it's easy every day, But you know what has worked for me is you have to chunk this down into bite-sized pieces, right? Like I said, you can't. And I draw so many parallels between triathlon racing and you know long course Ironman racing and marathon racing. When you stand at the start line of a marathon and you think you have 26.2 miles to run, that can be a little bit daunting, right? But when you break it down into small miles, you know, mileage increments, or you break it down by the number of water stops, or you break it down by, hey, I'm going to have an energy gel every 3 miles, or whatever the bite size increment needs to be for you to process it, then the world changes. The landscape shifts. Now all of a sudden you're managing whatever it is, minute to minute, day to day, 3 miles at a time, or one doctor's appointment at a time. And I think if you can parlay the same thought process to disease, to any crisis, to just daily living in general, and you can break it up into bite-sized chunks, you're going to be able to, you're going to be able to process that much easier than looking at it as a whole.
So breaking it down makes it much easier, and that holds true for many things in life. If you break it all down into the smaller steps, it does become easier. Well, Steve, I'm sorry to hear that you are currently undergoing chemotherapy again, so the leukemia has returned. So what is your mindset now? You're using those same steps again right now?
Bill, here's the thing. So I told you I was diagnosed 10 years ago initially, right? And I went through treatment initially back then. And we always knew it's a chronic condition. It's not, I don't have a cure for this. We manage it. And up until this point, I've been very, very lucky that I've been able to manage it very, I won't say easily, but cleanly, in that, you know, my labs have typically always been good. I've generally lived, I like to say, above it and not just with it. So this year was a little bit more challenging, right? Some of the symptoms started to reappear. They started to become a little bit more than I wanted to handle and more than I wanted to live with on a daily basis. So my doctor and I made the decision that it's time for treatment, and we're going to go at this again with some what he calls big guns or heavy artillery, and we're going to really knock this thing way off the radar. For me, that it was almost like a blessing, because it's like I don't have to now live with what if, when, at some point, am I going to need treatment again? It's fine. Address it. Head on, let's take care of it, and let's knock it off the map for another 10, 15, 20 years, whatever that might be. Now, here's the win-win for everybody. I'm now 3 cycles deep in my chemo regimen, which is going to last another anywhere from 1 to 3 additional cycles. My doc is incredibly optimistic and pleasantly surprised at, A, how well I'm tolerating it and how well I'm rebounding after each cycle. So I'm kicking this thing in the teeth, and I couldn't be happier about it. I'm ecstatic about the treatment because I'm one of the lucky ones. It's working. I'm tolerating it, and you know, the greater the number of treatments that I can tolerate, the longer I'm going to have to think about this again.
I'm so happy to hear that. That's good news. And hearing you talk, it's almost like this leukemia is like a foe. It's an opponent. Like you're getting in the ring and want to kick the snot out of this thing.
It's an opponent. Yeah, but it's funny. You need to fight it respectfully. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but it's a foe. And for the most part, it's kind of like, you know, being that it is chronic, I'll sometimes use the example of like you live with a wild caged up animal in the backyard or in your basement. And then, you know, every once in a while it gets a little aggressive and you need to figure out with tranquilizers or with some kind of something, how are you going to tame that beast? And, the leukemia is well aware that I have the upper hand, and, you know, I continue to use my running and my multi-sport racing and training as part of that arsenal of treatment. You know, for me, nothing feels more in control than being able to conclude a round of treatment and go out for a run. Like, that's just the ultimate exclamation point for me. And I know that's the kind of thing that would make a, you know, disease kind of shake in their boots as well.
Would you recommend starting a hobby or, getting involved in a sport or becoming jogging, if you will, for someone that may be going through something similar? Is that something you would recommend? Get out there, get active, do something.
I would absolutely. Well, obviously, you're going to want to talk to your physician about anything that you're going to start in terms of an exercise program. So I don't want recently newly diagnosed patients to say, "Hey, I'm now a runner." So you need to really talk through what that means, and depending on where you're starting and what you want to accomplish.
Steve said so. Come on, it's
you're
okay.
Right, right. Yeah, it worked for Steve, right?
Hey, no, Steve but what said.
What I'm a big proponent of is everyone in this world has their chocolate, right? Their thing that makes them feel good, that they're passionate about. And that might be stamp collecting, that might be bird watching, that might be marathons, that might be knitting, that can be, you name it, that's the thing that they hold near and dear that makes them feel, gives them a great sense of worth and warmth, right? It's important that people don't let go of those things, whatever their chocolate is, when they're going through treatment. So, don't feel like, just because you're scheduled for chemo and just because you now have this diagnosis, that the entire, all the other components of your life and the rest of your world needs to be put on hold. Find the things that you can still do, because it's going to help you emotionally, which is going to help you physically, which is going to transcend into getting you through and over treatment, that much better. So it's really important to take care of yourself mentally and holistically. Whatever that passion is, try to hold on to it.
That's great advice. I was thinking about myself and thinking about interviewing you today, and I was wondering, we all get upset about little problems in life. That guy took my parking spot, or that I didn't order this side. I wanted coleslaw instead of French fries. How dare they? And I'm thinking, with what you've had to go through, when you see people complaining about minor things, what do you think, or what do you want to say to them?
I don't want to say anything to them because it's their issue, it's their problem. But it always brings a smirk to my face. It's pretty ironic. And sometimes I'll hear somebody get upset about something, and I'll turn to my wife or whoever I'm with, and I'll just smile, and I'm like, really? If that's the only thing this guy has to worry about today, that's a pretty good day.
Pretty darn good day. Absolutely. Pretty good day.
That's right.
So throughout your journey, Steve, I'm sure you've had important people that have made an impact in your life. What's the best piece of advice you were ever given?
Give 100%. Give your best. And your best is good enough. I think we become paralyzed by this need to be perfect, either at work or in whatever mm-hmm. task it is that we're doing. And perfect isn't necessary. Giving 100% is necessary. And giving everything that you have and feeling good about that effort is necessary. But we're imperfect beings living in an imperfect world. So to set that level of expectation on some of the things that you do in this life is not realistic, and it's just going to create, stress and a feeling of inadequacy and just angst that isn't needed.
I love that line, what is necessary, give 100%. And that's something I think we all can do in all aspects of life. So I really like what you just said there. That's terrific. Steve, I ask all my guests similar questions, and one of them is about joy, something I think we need to cultivate more of in our lives. So here goes. Besides family and friends and career, what brings you joy in life?
I, as a coach, one of the biggest things that I get satisfaction out of is watching other people succeed. So, we talked a little bit about comfort zones and about doing things that scare you. So when I have an opportunity to be a part of that as a coach with some of the athletes that I work with, I see them show up on the first day of swim practice scared out of their minds. And then a couple months later, I get to be at the finish line at the race that they participated in. And I see their look of joy and elation. And I know exactly firsthand what's going on inside them. To be able to be a part of that and to celebrate that with them is my greatest joy. And I've reached a point in my, both in my personal accomplishments and in my coaching career that actually means more to me than the finish line that I will personally cross.
So how do you think we can cultivate more joy in our own lives? How did you discover that?
I think it's just opening your eyes and opening your heart. You know, it's lowering expectations. It's living in the moment. It's looking at something and analyzing it for the joy that's in it, you know, for the beauty that's in it, and not trying to make it be something else, you know, and not try to think about where do I have to be next? What do I have to buy next? What do I have to schedule next? I'm sitting here right here, and for example, I'm sitting here right here on my deck, enjoying a beverage, watching the birds. This is a perfect moment in my world, and I'm going to embrace, and I'm going to celebrate, and I'm not going to think too much about the next minute, tomorrow, next week, or when I have to go back to work.
That's so cool, and that's something we all could learn and something we all should strive for in our own lives, is finding those little simple moments in life that are memorable and really enjoy them now, not worrying about tomorrow or the next day or next week I've got to do this, but what's happening right now. So I think that's right. a terrific message.
I love the art of doing nothing. I mean, I'm a really active person, and I'm always on the go. But when I can embrace those moments where I can really just sit and be alone with my thoughts, it's an incredibly rewarding place for me to be. And I, you know, we spent a lot of time at the Jersey Shore, when my kids were smaller, you know, they would always want to be on the move, on the move, on the move. What are we going to do? Are we going to go to the beach today? Are we going to go to the boardwalk? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And oftentimes, my wife and I would hear the "We're so bored." And my wife and I would look at each other like, "I know, isn't it the greatest feeling in the world?" Because, you know, as adults, we could embrace that. But as kids, you know, there's no room for boredom in your life. You need to be on the move 24/7. But I think they're old enough, and they're adult enough now that they finally get what that means. So it's fun to share that with them as well.
So I have this theory that most high-performing people have a certain way they start their day. And I think starting the day right is crucial to everyone. So whether it be 15 minutes reading or writing thank yous or meditating, let me ask you this. How do you start your day?
Cup of coffee and my dogs. So I will get up at 5 o'clock every morning, even though I don't have to, because I like to go downstairs for the first cup of coffee, have some quiet time with the dogs, go through some emails, and just kind of regroup and mentally prep for the day. At which point I'll then call my wife down. She'll join me in some coffee. And, I've been doing that for probably decades, and even on the weekends, okay, I might relax that 5 o'clock a little bit, but that is it's just kind of how I shape the day to come. It's how I look at, you know, using mental imagery like, okay, these are the things that I know are on the agenda. No showstoppers, nothing overwhelming, and just kind of try to set the table for some of the things you have on your plate for the day.
And that routine is very important. It sounds like a terrific way to start the day. Well, coming up, we get the high five with Steve Brown. And if I could ask a favor, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more meaning, to have more enjoyment. And if we do that, we slowly make the world a better place. I truly believe that. I know that sounds kind of crazy. So we're trying to reach the most people we can. If you can, after the interview with Steve, jump on over to iTunes and then rate and review the show. Leave comments. Tell me what you're interested in. Tell me what you're concerned about in life. And by doing that, we gain a wider audience. So if you could take 30 seconds and do that, I would greatly appreciate it. The High Five with Steve is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And for you, my favorite listener, well, you are my favorite. I just want to be clear on that. Favorite means that you are my favorite. And that's why you get the opportunity to download a free audiobook. All right? It's a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I'm just about done with Designing Your Life by Bill Burnett and Dale Evans. It's a cool book, and it talks about all the same kind of things we talk about here in Which Way Is Life. How can I have more meaning, enjoyment, and purpose in life? So you can download that right now for free. Go to audibletrial.com/whichwayislife, or many of the other books that you may find or like, download for free. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/whichwayislife for your free audiobook. Check it out. Browse around. If you see something you like, remember, just type in Which Way is Life for your free audiobook. Which Way is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. Now, you probably use sea salt on your food because you know of its health benefits, right? Sea salt is better for you. But is your salt real? Take a look at the ingredients panel. Well, you don't have to look at it now, but after this. You might be surprised by what you see inside. A lot of salts contain fillers like anti-caking chemicals, even dextrose, which is a type of sugar. And you don't want sugar in your salt. Real Salt brand is an unrefined salt from an ancient ocean in central Utah. Think about our oceans today. They certainly are not as clean as they used to be. Real Salt brand sea salt formed long before man-made pollution was a problem. With Real Salt, you get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt that's real. Real Salt brand sea salt. Find it at your local health food store or go to realsalt.com. Time for the high five with my guest today, Steve Brown. Steve, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. In your darkest hours or times you've been really tested to your limit, what is it that has gotten you through?
Tomorrow. We all know that we have dark moments. Everyone has a dark moment, right? I mentioned before, we're imperfect beings living in an imperfect world. Sometimes things just... Right. Think. Mm-hmm. However, I know firsthand that tomorrow always has the potential to be brighter than today was. And I'm the king of tomorrow. And no matter how bad today might be, there's no doubt in my mind that I know tomorrow can and usually is better than a bad day today.
The king of tomorrow. I love it. Question number two, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I would tell myself to take more risks. I think my younger self was a little too safe, right? I didn't do that one thing every day that scared me. I lived in a, I won't say a small comfort zone, but a defined comfort zone, and I was comfortable, right? And it wasn't until later in life that I realized the rewards and the benefits of kind of elbowing and muscling your way out of that comfort zone by taking risks that are bigger than you. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to fail, and that's okay. You know, there's something to be learned in everything, whether you succeed or fail. So I think it would be to take more risks.
Okay. Question number three, if you had to recommend a book to our audience, what would it be?
Well, selfishly,
and yes, it can
say,
be your own. It can be your own, yes.
I would say mine, but let me explain. So the book is called Relentless Metal, My Cancer, My Rules. And it's not because it's a literary work of genius or I get rich by people buying it, but, you know, it's got its flaws. But it is an example of doing something a little bit scary and putting yourself out there kind of exposed. And, you know, I also know that it's helped others. And it's encapsulated this whole cancer experience or you know, snapshot in time. And, you know, I'm proud of the journey and I'm proud of the ability to have been able to capture it. So I'm going to say that for now.
Okay. And we will put a link to that book in the show notes page at radiomd.com. So if you're wondering, you can go right there, click on it. We'll take you right where you can get it. Question number four, what's your favorite health app or is there a health resource you can share with us?
You know what? I don't think I have a particular app or resource, but I said I'm the king of tomorrows. I'm Dr. Google, man. I am forever looking up something, which is a good thing and is a bad thing because there obviously for every one piece of valid information out there on the internet, there's Lord knows how much junk. So, my advice is research as often and as frequently as you need to, but weed through it and make sure you understand, you know, if we're talking about disease or diagnosis, you know, make sure you're looking at bona fide, approved resources and websites.
Is there a site that you like or is a verified site that you find credible information?
I mean, for me personally, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society site has a wealth of information, you know, about networks, about connections, about drugs, about immunotherapies, about side effects of chemo, about, like, you know, everything from a blood cancer perspective, you know. But just American Cancer Society, there's a National Cancer Society, there's a number of approved resources that are very good.
Okay, and we're going to wrap up the High Five with Steve Brown. Question number five, finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is...
to leave behind a legacy that you're proud of.
Sweet and simple, and something we all can aspire to do.
You live your life and you have interactions every day with people, loved ones and strangers and coworkers, with the assumption that you'll have that same opportunity tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. And the one thing that I've learned is that might not be the case. So nurture those relationships, tell those people what they mean to you, and value the moments that you have with them today, because you don't know what tomorrow brings.
Great advice. Steve, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. How can we connect with you?
The best way would be my website, which is just remissionman.com. And that's pretty much one-stop shopping for my books, any speaking engagements I have coming up, any races I have coming up. It's kind of where multisport racing and cancer diagnosis and real life all collide into one massive intersection, and that's what I keep updated. That's got my Facebook links, my LinkedIn links, my Instagram links, my Twitter links, and all that as well.
That sounds great, and again, we'll have a link to Steve's website on our show notes page as well. Steve, thank you again so much for your time today. I greatly appreciate it. And remember, enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Steve, thanks again.
Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for listening. I really, really, really appreciate it, and I hope you got something out of this episode. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. They come out twice a week, every Monday and Thursday. Just hit subscribe on my iTunes page or my show page at RadioMD.com. A bunch of links for you to choose from. Stitcher and Android and a whole bunch of stuff. iHeartRadio, you can find all that stuff there. And if you can, take 30 seconds, go to iTunes and give me a review. Rate the podcast. That way we have the opportunity to reach more people and help more people, which this podcast is all about. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. Find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter. Also, same thing on Facebook, Which Way Is Life. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. You can also subscribe there as well. Thanks for listening. Have a great day and stay well.